You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. This week's episode is split into two sides. This is Side A.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Clock Radio Speakers. I'm your co-host, Armand Wake Up. You can follow me on all social media at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. More important than that, please follow the official Clock Radio Speakers Twitter handle, which is at CRS Podcast. ClockRadioSpeakers.com, powered by Tumblr. You can get all previous 300 some odd episodes there, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, everywhere you get podcasts, except for you know where and you know why. We're also on Facebook. We're also on Instagram. And Doc's here.
We on Snapchat too?
Man, nah.
Tinder?
Well.
Neither of us is on Tinder.
No.
What's going on, everybody? You can follow me on Twitter if you want, at @doc_beats, S not a Z. But like Armand said, just follow the show at CRS Podcast. Oh man. Somehow stuff going on in hip hop but also like not a lot of concrete stuff happening in hip hop right now. It's kind of a weird time.
Yeah.
It's been a weird year.
Bruh. Yeah. I would agree.
So we just got done talking with Kenny, who's one of our Patreon subscribers. Oof. Who went to the Detroit listening party for Kanye's hypothetically upcoming album, Jesus is King. We talked with him for 35, 40 minutes, roughly somewhere in there.
Bruh.
That is exclusively for our Patreon subscribers. So if you want to hear us talking to Kenny and breaking down all the aspects of it, what he saw, what he heard, what he thinks. And then, you know, we got on a side tangent about Kanye's discography because why not? Go to patreon.com/CRS podcast if you're not already a subscriber. We appreciate all the Patreon subscribers. Oh, man.
Listen, I just want to reiterate how good that was.
Yeah, like, it was good.
It's really, really, really good. I know you can, you know, there are articles that are out that kind of share experience, but you know, that's corporate America. I'm saying we in the streets.
And would you say we're corporate thuggin'?
Yes. We are absolutely corporate thuggin', word to Slick Puller and Blood Raw. So if you're not a Patreon subscriber, like, bruh, that was really, really good. His perspective was really interesting and unique to a lot of what I'm hearing from the people who have kind of shared what happened. So yeah, definitely go to patreon.com/CRS podcast and check that out.
All right, Armand. So this week aside from what we talked to Kenny about, we should talk about some other stuff related to Kanye. Because I've got some questions. I got some things that I'm not sure about. Might be useful to talk about. What else do you want to talk about this week? We've got your man, DaBaby.
My man.
Someone's man.
A lot of people's mans. Some people would say that he's the 2019 MVP.
Thought you were going to call him the 2019 50 Cent. I was about to.
We'll get there.
Okay. So we got to talk about that. You posted on Twitter. Got a little conversation started looking back at a very famous release date in hip hop history. Yep. I want to talk about that.
Yep.
Anything else we want to talk about? This week might be pretty.
It's kind of quick. It's kind of light.
Maybe famous last words.
Back to back one sided episodes would be cool.
You were shocked when I put that out as one.
Appalled. Dismayed. I was like, wait, what?
Perplexed.
Extremely perplexed. Lots of X's and R's in that perplex.
Perplexery, yeah.
Let's start with the baby, because the baby's gonna be, I think that one's gonna be a little funny and quicker.
All right. So you sent a tweet to me.
I did.
That offended me. Like, really offended me. But I think it's interesting to talk about, because yeah, it's one of those things where it's been a while. So for the full context, Armand, so the tweet was basically asking the question, is DaBaby in 2019 the equivalent of 50 Cent in 2003? Mm-hmm. Is that about right?
Yep.
So, boy, where to even start with that? I don't even want to just have this be like nostalgia and like sort of my youth, like crowding, like what could be, you know, and is popular now. But like when I saw that, the first thing I thought was, have people forgotten what 50 Cent did when he came out? That's the only explanation for a tweet like that, right?
Less.
Or they just didn't know because they were like 3 years old.
That's where I'm going. I think it's less about forgotten and more of people, whoever tweeted that, like just did not know. Like, I think whoever comes from that school of thought, and that person got pretty much killed.
Well, it's useful talking about.
So I think they might have came in like around Curtis era, like 09, like I don't know. Or maybe they just heard about, you know, you just know 50 due to pop culture, but you weren't there when those four records from Get Rich or Die Trying leaked right before the Super Bowl. You weren't there when Eminem or when 50 rapped over Till I Collapse and announced that he, like, right after he signed to Shady Interscope. Like, now I won't even say that was a time. Like, that was like, bruh.
Yeah, I mean, for all intents and purposes, 50 pioneered what would become the mixtape strategy for every aspiring artist. That's 2002, right? Then in 2003, the double XL cover, like he had, okay, so let's count the hit singles, right? So In the Club is just massive. 21 Questions blows up. PIMP does all right.
Mm-hmm.
Am I missing any other singles from that album? I mean, he released like a bunch of stuff ended up as like, they would just play it on the radio just because.
Yep. Yeah.
It was the kind of album that nowadays, like individual songs would have, just because of streaming numbers, would have popped up in like the top 10 on Billboard and you would never know it. But that's not how music worked back then. You know what I mean? Like Many Men, like if streaming exists when that 50 Cent album comes out, first of all, the numbers are bigger than you think because that album was bootlegged like crazy and it still sold like what, 800? What was it? Like, was it like 800K?
Yeah, it was close to platinum.
In 1 week?
Yeah.
That's real deal numbers. That's not platinum first week because of a combination of YouTube and Spotify and Apple Music and, you know, some merch bundles. No, that's like legit. I went to Sam Goody and spent $15.99 on a CD, like almost platinum in a week.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And we were now deep enough into the first Napster and then all the other clones after that when Napster got shut down. We were deep enough into the piracy era where like tons of people had that before it even came out. So like that album comes out and impacts hip hop in the same way with streaming and effectively no bootlegging, because bootlegging is pretty much dead.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, he's doing even, like 1.5.
Yeah. Oh, he's doing a ridiculous number. Yeah. And then, but I mean, yeah, it was inescapable. It was everywhere. He overnight went from somebody who was buzzing to like undisputed A-list hip hop star.
Yeah.
Which wasn't super uncommon once upon a time. Like there was an era where like there would be a new really big star every year or two, right? Nelly kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, for us who weren't in who like weren't in the Midwest and who didn't know that, the, you know, who weren't listening to him when he was like doing local music or whatever, like he seemingly came out of nowhere, right? Ja Rule, his first album was kind of successful, pretty successful. Mm-hmm. His second album was insanely successful.
Mm-hmm.
He seemingly kind of came out of nowhere. Ludacris, maybe not quite on that level, but from his first album, actually, I mean, from his second single, right? That first single of his, What's Your Fantasy, was like, oh, it's a popular single. But then Southern Hospitality, people were like, oh, mm-hmm. okay, there's something more here. Mm-hmm. And now he is like, maybe not top tier, but like near top tier. Like, it wasn't uncommon for people to like pop up out of nowhere. DMX is another example, mm-hmm, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Like 98, you know, but by the middle of 98, DMX is like 100% A-list like hip hop star.
Mm-hmm.
So like it wasn't totally uncommon, but what was amazing was like the level of commercial dominance was just staggering.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And really gives that Dre sound a whole other second life.
I think, right? I think it gives credence to it.
What do you mean by that?
So I think like Like, I don't think Eminem was known for the Dre sound. I think Eminem was known for getting with Dre, but like the music was more so carried by either Eminem's lyricism, the content, or the shenanigans. It wasn't like, yo, this Dr. Dre beat is crazy. Like,
yeah.
It was more Eminem, the artist, that was like kind of accompanied by this Dr. Dre stuff. 50, I feel like at his peak, you could say that you could make an argument that 50 crafted music better than Eminem, just in terms of it being commercially viable. Because if Eminem's not a young white guy and it's just a black dude rapping those same songs, it's not the same response. But 50 was making pop records out of those Dr. Dre beats. And I think that kind of gave credence to it and gave it some legs and some weight.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, 2001 obviously was amazing and a lot of hits that came off that. And there was like the first wave of 2001-ish beats that, you know, but to me, like the emergence of 50 and then G-Unit, like, was this whole other, like, I guess that's what I meant by like Second Life, right? Like, cause like, you know, like Mary J has Family Affair over Dre beat. Like there was popular songs on Dre beats for like a little while, but like, I felt like after Get Rich or Die Trying, there's not just Dre, but there's like a whole like new army of clones making beats like that, because that G-Unit sound became something that people were just like obsessed over.
Mm-hmm.
So all that to say, no disrespect to DaBaby, but 50 Cent in 2003, that's like, that, you know, you think about like incredible years for artists in hip hop. There's like 98 DMX,
mm-hmm.
50 Cent 2003,
mm-hmm.
2004 Usher,
mm-hmm.
97 Puff,
mm-hmm. 93 Snoop.
Sure, sure.
94 Big.
Kind of. I mean,
maybe 95,
I mean, obviously
big, 95 Big.
Well, I mean, when I talk about those artists, I'm talking about a combination of critical and commercial success, right? Because otherwise, okay. I'm going to sit there and talk about 94 Nas and 96 J. Sure. Like, I'm talking about like when it all comes together, and they just own that year.
Yeah.
Drake kind of came close.
Shoot.
Like, he commercially owned a year, didn't really. Drake's critical and commercial peaks, I would say, have not lined up.
Yeah. Because his commercial peak is what, last year?
Yeah.
But his critical peak is definitely between 9 and 14.
Yeah, I think that's probably about right.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really quite line up. So all that to say, if you forgot, like if it's been a while, like really, like go back and like old 50 Cent, man, he was.
I wonder if they have that the DVD that came with Get Rich or Die Trying. There was a DVD that came with, I believe, the first 500,000 copies. Like it's pretty important, I would say.
Oh yeah, how so?
It just captures the time. It's like 50's own smack DVD. So it's right. When he takes you to his grandmother's house and shows you where he got shot at. It takes you, you know, this is early Yayo and early Banks, and they're doing clubs, and it shows them recording some of those G-Unit mixtapes. Like there's a lot of history on that DVD.
I wonder if it's on YouTube. I'm looking it up right now. This might be it. Hold on.
Yeah.
Yep. It's on YouTube. Yep. Just look up 50 Cent Get Rich or Die Trying the movie. The movie.
Well, it's not the story of his life movie, right? Because there was a soundtrack for that, right?
No. It's not the soundtrack. No. You're right. Not just the movie. Was just like that's what rappers. Yo, this ain't a DVD. It's a movie. That's all. You know how they get. So I guess you would have to switch around. Let's take it from the youth's perspective. And let's put DaBaby into 2003. Or let's put, you know, early 50 into 2019. Like, is the DaBaby's success getting on a bunch of records like 50 was doing, a bunch of guest appearances, having a huge successful single? I'm not sure what his last album did, but this album that he put out this week is projected to do, I think, 150, 130,
yeah,
between 130
between
and 150?
130 and 150, which yep. He's going to debut at number one.
So he's got a number one album. You know, he's everywhere. Like, you know, from their eyes, and they don't know, but like from their perspective, the things, I'm certain that the things that they're comparing 50 and DaBaby with are like on point.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, to me, I mean, it's interesting to compare him to 50, because if you're going to compare him to 50, it's almost like, imagine it's the end of 2002 and 50 doesn't sign to Aftermath and puts out a project, right? So he's got the guest appearances, he's got the buzz, he's got all that. And then he puts the album out, but he's not hooked up to the Interscope Aftermath machine. That's a closer comparison to me, but I get it.
Yeah. Did you listen to the Baby's new album?
Kirk, I did.
What'd you think?
I think he has a sound that wears itself out pretty quickly. There's not a ton of like, I mean, basically like when the song works, it's because the beat works and he is charismatic on it. Mm-hmm. But there's lots of stuff on here that is just like, whatever, skip, fine, skip. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel differently?
No, not at all. I said that on the, when we talked about the Dreamville project, right? I thought that him and Megan, their styles were beginning to wear themselves thin.
Yeah.
You know, we've had that critique of J. Cole. It's like, man, he's got to work with some different producers. And that's 3 albums in, 4 years in. The baby kind of blew up this year, and I'm already dying to hear him on something else.
You know what I really like? So there's one song in here, really, that really, no pun intended, really drove a point home to me, which is like, he knows how to flow.
Absolutely.
But that doesn't make him good at rapping.
Mm.
Like, he's not really good at writing lyrics.
Hmm.
But because he can flow in a very competent way, I think it disguises him as somebody. Because, like, there's, like, it's you can have people who are okay at writing lyrics, but maybe flow isn't their strong suit or whatever. And there are definitely, like, rappers who can flow and their writing is fine, but maybe their content matter is unoriginal or whatever. But, like, DaBaby knows how to flow, but like when you actually like go on Genius and like read the lyrics as he's like rapping them, I just sit there and I'm kind of like, God, there's nothing here. Just absolutely nothing here.
Hmm.
But you know, I guess for me overall, like it's interesting when he is on, like, so he has a number of features on here, but I think he has 3 headlining features, right? He's got Raw-ish with Migos, he's got iPhone with Nicki, and he's got Gospel with Chance.
Mm-hmm.
iPhone with Nicki, I think the beat kind of works, but I think like, I mean, look, we are not the biggest Nicki fans all the time on this show, clearly. Anybody who's listened, by the way, if it's your first listen, welcome. If it's not your first listen, you know, we have high expectations for Nicki Minaj, and we feel like she doesn't always hit them. She washes DaBaby on iPhone.
Mm.
Like, it's the beat has to get a little extra for her, almost like she's decided she's going to be like, you know, on the Kendrick / Eminem level where like we got to bring in extra stuff and got to drop the, you know, it's all, you can't just have a 16 apparently. But I think she washes him. Like the record with Migos, I think Migos like totally work on it. And like when Quavo comes on there initially, it is such like a breath of fresh air to hear a different kind of sound. Cause like I just feel like DaBaby rapping is just very repetitive to
mm-hmm,
me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like him and Migos, it's like, oh, like he's really like he could like I feel like DaBaby really can shine on guest appearances because he's like, oh, there's a pocket of energy that like I see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But like 12, 13, whatever songs in a row of him, I'm good.
Yeah.
You feel about the same way?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything stick out to you?
I liked. He's getting a lot of praise for the intro.
Intro, I like the intro. Was good.
I hate the hook.
Mm. There's a lot of hooks on here I do not like.
Yeah, the hook is not that good. Hook's not that good. The beat is the song is dope. Like, love the fact that his content gives him some personality. It totally makes sense with this being what you lead your album with because you know. It's different from what people are used to hearing from you. But I just assumed that he was going to have another record that was kind of, I don't know if you're going to have another Suge because I don't think they did Suge and was like, you know, this is the one. I think that's just the one that caught on. But like, I don't hear like, all right, yeah, this is out of here. Maybe off the rip. But, and I think he just put out a video for Vibe today.
Mm.
But, yeah. And I know Nicki's dying for him to put out iPhone.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder.
Well, she was retired.
I'm wondering if Nicki is dying for Kanye. I wonder if she feels a way that, well, not feels a way, but is disappointed that Kanye's not putting out a new body as it is
because the general consensus is that she's like prime Nicki on that.
Yeah, well, you know, Kanye's got a whole different thing going right now.
Yeah.
You want to talk about that?
Yeah, do you want to talk about that now and then end with the September?
Yeah, we could do that. All right, let's do it. It's going to be a short episode.
All right, let's do it.
It's going to be like 30 minutes.
Yeah, okay. We're about to talk about Kanye. It's not going to be 30 minutes.
Oh, man. So we talked about this a bit with Kenny, but just to recap. So we're getting an IMAX documentary?
Oh, dude. You know what we didn't talk about?
What's that?
We're going to talk about Kanye, but just remind, we have to talk about Shaq and Damian Lillard.
Oh, yeah.
We got to talk about that. But okay. Yeah, IMAX. Yes. I'm not surprised.
Well, you know, Kanye and release dates is a tough thing. So do we think this is actually done and will actually come out on time?
Oh, for October 25th?
Yeah.
Well, I think IMAX is different from streaming services.
You mean he can't like go to IMAX.com/artists and click upload on the 24th?
Right. And I don't think, and he doesn't film stuff.
Right,
so
right. Somebody else is doing it.
Somebody's filming it. Somebody's editing it. So if anything, you know, he's hovering over somebody's shoulder, telling, you know, kind of giving them direction maybe. But I wouldn't be surprised if he stuck to that date because it's other people who are responsible for that.
Hmm. So
which means the album has to come out before IMAX.
I mean,
it's in theory.
Yeah. So let me. So you know, we talked with Kenny specifically about the Detroit listening. Experience that he went to. Armand, is you like overall, like what's your take on this whole rollout? How are you feeling about this right now?
I'm used to it. Mm. He kind of set, no. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, so it's not unusual for Kanye.
No, I mean, he's done that with he did it with Pablo, he did it with Ye, and now he's doing it with Jesus Is King. So no, I'm not surprised at all. Like it seems like the living album thing was done as like a compromise where like title or, you know, whatever relationship he had was like, dude, we need this album right now. You have to finish it. And he's like, yeah, but, you know, can I edit it if I need to? Yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. Because I feel like with Pablo, they uploaded the different version of Father Stretch My Hands with the choir instead of Kanye singing pretty quickly, right? So at the end of the first verse when he says, I want to wake up with you in my, like,
yeah.
The original version just has Kanye singing that part. And then there was an updated version, almost like a iOS 13.1 that was released to everybody's phone, which then had the choir. And then I think later it had changes to like waves and fade and little.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and famous and.
Oh, he changes the lyrics. Believe me, the version that's in my iTunes music is the first one because that's the best one.
I hate the way, what's the name of that record? The way the beat comes on the original version, I hate. He ends up, the way that the beat drops on the Madison Square Garden release party, he ends up going back to it, and that's the version that it is on streaming services, and that's the best version of that.
To me, the biggest problem is like what he did to the end of Famous, right? The way he the segue into the Sister Nancy chop, it was perfect initially, and then he like slightly changed it, and it throws the whole feel of it off, and it drives me crazy. So and then, of course, like you said, the choir that comes in on Father Stretch My Hands, totally unnecessary.
No, I prefer that.
Oh no, I don't like that version at all.
Yeah, no, I prefer that.
I need give me more Kid Cudi, less choir.
Mm.
So for you, this is no different. And honestly, like this trend of like last minute stuff goes back to Yeezus, right? I mean, Yeezus was very like notably like, well, I don't know what we're gonna get.
That's right. Yep. It just didn't Yeezus just kind of like come out.
Yeah, like on a Friday.
Yeah.
Before Friday releases were a thing.
Yeah. I remember like the cover leaked and yeah, it dropped like that night. Yeah. I vaguely remember that.
I thought it dropped in an afternoon, but anyway, but I think what happened is it leaked and then he just like, I put it out.
Okay.
Because this is back when CDs were still a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now nobody cares about CDs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when this whole weekend started, were you actually expecting a Kanye West album on Friday? Or were you like, well, we'll see?
I was expecting it on Sunday. I actually believed Kim.
Sunday felt right.
Yeah, Sunday felt right. I even saw
the second listening, the third listening session, I should say. Like that just felt like, okay, it's ready.
That made sense. That made sense. Detroit, Chicago, New York, drop it that night. I even saw some people get deep and compare it to Christ's death and resurrection. He died on a Friday and rose on a Sunday. I'm like, all right, come on, guys. All right.
Jesus just rose again.
But yeah, Sunday made sense. Sunday. So I was a little disappointed when I saw that didn't happen.
So let me ask you about his claim that he's only making gospel music from here on out.
You were making a sharp left turn. Okay.
I mean, is there anything else you want to talk about? I mean, because it's like, for me, it's the sort of thing where it's like, it's so chaotic. I guess the one thing I'll say before we get in the sharp left turn is it sounds really unfinished. Like from what we heard from Kenny on the Patreon exclusive part, from what I've read, it sounds like it's not ready.
Yeah.
You know, like he could put it out. It sounds less finished than Ye sounded when he was like rushing to put that out. You know what I mean? And I feel like part of that is, you know, he has said this past weekend that, you know, when he performed at Coachella Sunday service, like he wasn't all the way saved yet, right? He wasn't all the way there.
Yeah.
So like he appears to be as he's gotten closer to this time to when he's supposedly going to release the album, like he appears to be, and if you want to take him at his word, which we might get into a little bit, like he appears to be growing in his relationship with Jesus Christ, right? Mm-hmm. And so it seems like the more that happens, the more it's like, I got to get those old stereotypical, like Kanye lyric. He had to pull stuff out, I feel like. And now he's got to figure out what to put it back in. Like that's the whole thing with New Body, right?
Yeah.
Like New Body was a very different kind of song.
Absolutely.
And you know, if Kanye is truly on the other side of this sort of transition, then he must've had to go back and listen. He's like, no, cut, like, can't keep that. And now he's got to almost like come up with it from scratch again.
Yeah.
I think on Friday, one of the articles said like some of the, like maybe I think it was for Friday, like at the Detroit listening party, like one of those verses he recorded like just before he went out.
Mm.
Like it is still coming together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of surprised that we haven't seen like a whole all hands on deck, everybody out in Wyoming, fly everybody out, finish it.
Yeah, I guess it's like, then why put out a date?
You talked about it a bit, but like earlier, but I think he needs a date. Like people in his life know that he needs something.
Yeah.
You know, and if he's like, oh man, I don't, you know, maybe he needs Kim to play bad cop. He's like, oh man, Kim put that date out there. I got to stick with it. You know what I mean? Like we all need something to motivate ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it. I think people, you know, you need dates, you need hard dates, but like,
yeah.
I guess why this date, if you know that the music is where it is. And I mean, if this is a pattern of behavior, then put it out at the end of October instead of September. You know, we already got the, cause I mean, look at Yandy, right? So Yandy was supposed to come out in, I think, September, then it was November.
Yeah, it was September 29th, 2018, almost exactly a year ago.
Yeah, then it got pushed back to November, and then it just got pushed back to 2019. And whatever leaked online, I don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy it because it's clearly not done. Mm. And it's not even like a good demo. It's like Kanye's clearly going to, like, he hasn't even gotten to the point of like blowing this out yet. So then why put November? And I guess what version of Yandy did we get? You know, did we get the September version? Or was there are there like five other versions of New Body that have come out since then, or that Kanye's done since then, and we got version two?
I mean, we've talked about it a bit on the show, but you're aware of the group buy phenomenon that happens out there now?
What is that?
So people who pitch in together to put money together so that they can buy songs from people who are leaking these Kanye records?
Yes.
Yeah, apparently a lot of this comes from like a late last year thing where I guess Kanye had Timbaland and a bunch of people who Timbaland's working with come in to do studio sessions. And it's not that Tim leaked this or anything, but like someone who came in as a part of that process apparently got their hands on this stuff.
Mm.
And so there are like, you know, there's like, there's one, so one of the leaked songs is Hurricane. There's like Hurricane V1, Hurricane V2. Like there's all sorts of versions of stuff floating out there. And so of course now there's this whole other thing. You go on Reddit, fans are like doing what I would have done 15 years ago when I had time on my hands. And they're like piecing together like, oh, what if we take, oh, I liked what he did with Aunt Clemens on the hook for this one. Let me put it with this. And they're trying to get their, they're getting their Doc underscore beats. That's not a Z on.
Yo, they're doing 1.5s.
Of individual songs.
Yeah.
Which I totally would have done.
Absolutely.
I get it.
Yeah, we definitely doing that. Yeah.
There's a lot of random versions out there. So there is no definitive Yandhi that leaked. It's not like there was a CD scribbled in Kanye's handwriting, Yandhi final on it, and then someone stole it. Like, that's not how this worked at all. It's stuff from those sessions.
Got it. And somebody just put it together like
as best they could based off of, oh, we once saw this picture and here was the track list that was on a whiteboard. Mm-hmm. You know?
Okay. Yeah.
So
okay, back to your original question.
My left turn.
Mm-hmm.
Kanye claims. I want to make sure I get this right. He didn't say he was only making gospel music, but he said he wasn't making secular music. I think is the precise claim.
I thought he said he was going to only be making gospel music.
Okay, then maybe I'm wrong. So if he says he's only making gospel music from here on out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're gonna just dive into this.
Let's do it.
So I've got some questions for you.
Okay.
And yes, you are my designated. Christian hip hop representative.
I bet.
Is CHH gospel?
No. It can be, but no.
Not always. So what's the difference?
Well, Christian hip hop, it's weird. Okay, so what people do in terms of Christian hip hop, where they're using hip hop to spread a Christian message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is the gospel. That is gospel in terms of like the gospel of Jesus Christ, dead, burial, resurrection. Holy Spirit lives inside of us, all that good stuff. Saved by grace through faith, all that good stuff. But gospel is also a type of music, you know, steeped in blues, steeped in jazz, steeped in that dates back to, you know, slave times. It's choirs. It's, you know, it's a style of music as well. But then when you hear some people talk about Christian hip hop in terms of an industry, that's what you're seeing. A lot of people, your Jay Givens and your Kristen Grays, and a lot of people like, I mean, Chris this week said it was a cult, or last week he said it was a cult. Jay Givens said that it was, that it's not, that it's a harmful, it was a harmful arena that took advantage of a lot of people. I don't know if he said that verbatim, but, you know, took advantage of a lot of people, did a lot of people dirty, didn't do right by people, did not reflect Christ in their actions and, you know, all that good stuff. That's a really layered answer for me to give a yes or no. It could, but it also could not. It depends on who's doing it, what's the target, all that stuff. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, I think so. Is it kind of like a all square, all squares are also rectangles, but all rectangles aren't squares kind of a thing? Like, that doesn't really work in this case, right? Because it's not like all gospel, like CHH, it's more like a Venn diagram, right? Where sometimes they overlap. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Some people would say that Christian hip hop is strictly tailored to Western churches, predominantly white churches that still have like deep racist roots. That I think a lot of people would say that Christian hip hop made a turn when Lecrae, who is the car carrying, flag waving ambassador of Christian hip hop, all things Christian hip hop, he's the go-to, begin to talk about lots of like black issues, you know, and a lot of his audience was like, nah, and rejected it. And he caught a lot of backlash for essentially saying in so many words, Black Lives Matter. So yeah, Venn diagram to answer your question. Yeah. Sometimes it overlaps. Sometimes it does not.
All along with Kanye, I'd been kind of assuming that, you know, the claims that this might be a gospel album would be more like what he's doing is he's going to take gospel music and use that as one more, like, tool in his arsenal, right?
Maybe.
Because what Kanye talked about this in the show before, but I'll say it again. I think what Kanye has always done super well is combine things in ways that other people haven't figured out yet.
Yeah, sure. Yep.
Right. Like, he's not always effective, right? And sometimes you gotta put out some stuff that's not amazing to get to the stuff that is amazing. But like, when he's at his best, he's doing stuff where you're like, oh, huh, okay, that's where we're going. I see. I get it. Or, huh, wouldn't have thought to do that, right? That's the best. To me, that's when Kanye, like, musically is at his best. But it seems like what's, and so we heard, you know, we heard from our, you know, Patreon subscriber Kenny on the exclusive pre-show. We heard from him anyway that he thought, like, musically, he thought, you know, maybe some stuff needs to be worked on, but there are moments there that actually make you go, oh, okay,
mm-hmm.
this doesn't sound like stuff I'm hearing right now,
mm-hmm.
which is a good sign. But it seems like where he's really made the sharp turn, where, and what's holding up this album is the lyrical content,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which is it's an interesting thing for Kanye, right? Because, like, I think what Kanye, I'm pretty sure I've also said this on the show, what Kanye is so good at is mixing the good with the bad, the holy with the unholy,
mm-hmm.
the crass with the classy, right? Mm-hmm. Like, all that stuff. Like, that is when he gets those sharp contrasts. Like, that's Kanye. What does that look like? If you strip away that, and if it's just like, you're going to have, like, take the beats out of it, but, like, from a lyrical perspective, like, if he's not doing that, what do you end up, like, what does that kind of Kanye even sound like? Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Well, do you want me to give, like, a hypothetical and what it would take to really, like...
You could. I mean, the other thing I'd love for you to think about is, like, if you, I don't know if you know, like, who's helping him write
that right now? There it is.
Because, you know, like, Kanye, if you're listening, we can get you in touch.
Absolutely.
With some people who have a lot of experience.
Absolutely.
Writing really dope Christian hip hop.
Absolutely.
Lyrics. I'm not sure that Consequence and others even know where to start.
Absolutely.
Other than just throwing some Jesus and gods and some things.
Absolutely. Friend of the show, Swoop, would jump at the opportunity to do that. And really, as I think about it, Swoop's albums, a lot of Swoop's music, and particularly Sunshine, like, contained a lot of these elements. There's a lot of... Swoop has always incorporated gospel with hip-hop and has done it really, really well. So if you're listening to the show and you haven't heard Swoop's last album, Sunshine, and you kind of want an idea of what a Jesus is King-esque album could sound like, we're meshing the style of gospel with the style of hip-hop, but then also meshing the gospel message with rappity raps and, like, good rhymes, but then also, like, crafting really good songs. Sunshine with an O instead of a U. Really good. So I think that's the biggest thing. You know, it reminds me of, so when I was in Washington, so I gave my life to the Lord in 2005. I was living in Japan at the time. And my next duty station was Washington. And Japan and Washington were two totally different experiences. In Japan, I was, like, definitely doing my thing. I was out late till 5, 6, 7 in the morning and on a Saturday. And then I would get 2 hours of sleep and I'd wake up and get all my friends up. Some of them would be drunk in the day room and we'd all go to church. but then once I got to Washington, a lot of things slowed down for me. And one of those things was I got plugged in with a church, with a local church. And one of the elders at the church, shout out to my man, Patrick Obermuller, like one of the first, it was him and the other elder there that really showed me how to love God, but then also appreciate, like, what hip hop culture did for me as a person. Because the history of church and hip hop, the relationship has really been bad for most of hip hop's existence. But he told me I had a mixtape. I'm not gonna say the name of the mixtape because somebody will mess around and try to find it and it may or may not be on the internet. And I gave him the mixtape, and people who remember when I was in Japan, I did another version of this mixtape and I got saved while I was working on the mixtape. So I had all of these, and I'm assuming that Doc remembers this stuff because Doc has some of these early versions of these songs where I was rapping how I used to rap. F this, be that, whatever, whatever, whatever. And then I get saved and I'm like, well, I can't rap like this anymore. And I had to rewrite pretty much the whole project. So I can empathize with where Kanye is right now with a record like New Body or whatever. And so I gave him this mixtape and he goes home, he listens to it.
And maybe like a week later, I see him again because we used to hoop together too. And he pulled me to the side and he was like, Armand, you're a phenomenal MC. You are really good. You can put words together. I haven't heard anybody. He was just giving me all this high praise. But he's like, you need to get in your word and you need to make sure that you're plugged up with other believers who can sharpen you in your faith. And that always stuck with me for two reasons. One, because if I'm honest, I didn't really do it until much, much, much later in life. I didn't take that advice when I first got it in 2007. And when I go back and listen to my older music, oh, I can hear it. I can hear exactly where I was. I just did that on my Instagram stories today, listened to something old and was like, oh, I didn't remember exactly where I was. So it's similar to when a young guy comes into training camp, he gets drafted, and maybe some of the vets take him under their wing and he starts working out with the vets. You know, it's Lonzo coming into LA and LeBron and or not Lonzo, who's still there? Kuzma is in LA. He's the young guy and he's in there with Anthony Davis, with Dwight Howard, with LeBron, with some of the older guys. And they're basically just like sharpening him. This is the culture of the NBA. This is how you get ready. This is how you stay ready. This is how you respond to this. This is how you respond to that. So for Kanye to really, if he's sincere with this, like that is the next step. It's not a suggestion. Like it's pretty much required. He's going to have to get with some people who understand the gospel, who try their best to live it out. He needs to get with some people who are more spiritually mature than him. And he needs to like really like buckle down. And that's possible. It's possible. Otherwise, he's going to at best do what he can do as best as he can do it. But it won't be what it could be if he kind of immerses himself in Christian culture, I would say.
It's kind of like trying to make, like if you're like if you're a teenage musician and you're trying to like make music about love.
Yes.
But you've like, you've only had like the one girlfriend or boyfriend.
Absolutely.
And like, and all of a sudden you're like, I can make a song about love.
Yep.
It's like, you're 15.
You're 15. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's, and then what happens is your Juice World and you're singing about heartbreak and anybody who's older than you is like, shut up. Like, you'll be all right. Yeah. It's puppy love. You're 15. You'll be okay. But when you're 15, it's the worst thing in the world. So at spot on. It's the married couples who get married in January. And then in June, they feel like they want to start mentoring other couples. It's like, dude, you've been married 6 months. Like your wife hasn't even made you mad yet. Like you're still very much in the honeymoon phase. Cut it out.
Yeah. So I'm going to get really, this is almost, I'm not saying it's a trollish thing. This is a little, not even a hot take statement. This is more like a purposely provocative statement, right? Okay. Let's just assume that like, this is all in good faith, mm-hmm. right? That Kanye truly is doing what he says, right? He mm-hmm. is given his life to the Lord. This is his new life, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. How effective of a messenger for that can Kanye be?
Oh my God. Huge. Not because he's a celebrity, not just because of that. I think that helps. But what this is, honestly, at its core, it's a level of evangelism. It's somebody.
Oh, he's totally evangelizing.
He's sounding the trumpet and he's saying, hey, guys, this is the good news. This is one thing I miss. I miss it about my youth as a young Christian. I was so zealous. Hey, guys, Jesus loves you. Nah. And then like, this is before life hits you, disappointment hits you, church hurt hits you. When you're selfish and you hurt other people and you see their response to you and like you really you look at yourself against the word and it just really shows you who you really are and how much you need the Lord. And like that can turn a person inside out. And so sometimes I look at the kids and some of the kids that I mentor and just some of the just locally in Columbus that are younger and they're fans of mine. And I just see them on social media whenever I see them and at different events and stuff. And they're just so passionate. And sometimes I get jealous. I'm just like, man, I miss that. And I feel like that's where Kanye is right now. He's just like, yo, I haven't been this happy in a long time, because that's what happens. You find this joy that you haven't, that is seemingly evaded you for years, and you're just like, you're just basking in it. And that's why I said, when I posted on social media, like, this is why I want to know what his next album is going to sound like. Because between now and whatever happens then, like, that's when the stuff is going to go down. And that's what I would want to know, what kind of music would he produce? But he's 100% sounding the trumpet. And because Kanye is so influential, I think it behooves the church to take advantage of it, but not like in a corny, like youth pastor sort of way. Like, hey guys, heard Kanye's rapping about Jesus. Do you guys like hip hop? Like, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. But you know, I have a friend, one of my little sisters that I mentor, she went to the Sunday service in Crenshaw. And she's a believer, but she hasn't been to church in a few years. She experienced like just a lot of stuff. And she's texting me while she's there. And she's like, Armand, this is more than anything. This is just so sincere. She's like, I can just feel the sincerity. People are here just like, it isn't a bunch of people out just trying to be seen. Like, this is really people legitimately like worshiping and enjoying the time like in community. And that really, really stuck out, because it's like, I'm not going to sit up here and say the church should do this, because, you know, every church works different. We have a foundation of like a biblical foundation that we're supposed to like adhere to, but how that looks is just going to be totally different. However, like, if people are looking for sincerity in a world that is dictated by social media and algorithms and numbers and manipulation and headlines that aren't really real and all this stuff, people are looking for, where can I like unplug from this alternate reality that's in my phone and plug up with a present reality that can be in my face? Like, the church can be that. And I think Kanye is creating with these Sunday services, like, there's a chance for people to, if they're not already doing that, to say, okay, here's a skeleton of what it could look like, but just, you don't have to wear baggy clothes and remix hip hop records and do all that stuff. Cause that's how Kanye's doing it. You worship and you bring those people together the way that you, is authentic to you, because that's what people are going to feel. Because if I come out and I start doing like a fake Sunday service, people are going to look at me and be like, Armand, you tripping? Like, that's not you. But if I do it in my own authentic way, people are going to sniff and smell the authenticity. It's going to cut through all of the, like, the fake and the, you know, I can't, the words right on my tongue, but it's just going to cut through all the fake stuff, all the pretentiousness that's existing right now.
We hope you enjoyed Side A of this week's episode. Please check out Side B at clockradiospeakers.com.